Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of After Class Podcast. Today is going to be a little different. So I'm doing my very first solo podcast, which is kind of exciting. And here's why. So this is called the After Class Podcast, and it's inspired by conversations that are had after class, usually between my co-host Jamie and myself, and in some cases, things that come up with students. And in a few days, myself, along with I think close to 20, 25, 30 of McCann Agility students are all heading out to Eastern Canada for the UKI Canadian National Championships. And this was last week, or this week is sort of the last class before we all head out there. And a student was leaving yesterday and said, "Kel, what's our pep talk, you know, before we go to this big competition?" And it sort of got me thinking, and I had said, "Can I get back to you on that? Can I think about it?" Because I really wanted to, you know, give everybody a good pep talk. And then, of course, as I was driving home, I was thinking about myself and thinking about, okay, like, what kind of headspace do I want to be in? And, you know, what do I want to think about going into this big competition? So it is a big competition. It's a national event. And for some of us, including myself, it's a tryout for the 2024 WAO Team Canada. So it's a pretty big deal. So anyways, as I was settling and going to bed, I just decided to do a brain dump on everything that I was thinking about in terms of, you know, my mental space and, you know, how I'm going to navigate myself at the competition, you know, things that I could tell other people to do in terms of, you know, my students and how to get them on board. So anyways, to make a very long introduction shorter, I did a brain dump and I just jotted like a whole whack load of stuff down in a notes app on my phone, which is sometimes how I live my life. So I wanted to share it with you. And, you know, maybe you are driving to a competition right now. Maybe you're also driving to the Canadian Nationals. It's a very long drive. So anyways, here we go. This is going to be your podcast pep talk. Okay. First thing that I have down here is for mental space, evaluate where you're at currently. And for some of us, you know, we live busy lives, we have lots going on. And, you know, for me personally, to prepare for this event, I have to do a lot of things before I have to go. You know, I've got to get my business stuff prepared that I can leave. You got to get dogs that you're not taking off to sitters. Like, there's just so many things. So I haven't really had a chance to like really think a lot about the competition because I'm just kind of stressed and busy about leaving. And I find that this often is the case for myself. And I would venture to say that many people are the same way. So you end up arriving at these big events where you're supposed to be like, rah, rah, let's go. And you're like kind of tired. So you kind of have to think about that and give yourself a bit of grace and try to get yourself, you know, once you're there, be there, enjoy it, let the other stuff go. And I've done this enough times now that I know this is kind of like the normal thing that happens. Stress, 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 stress. You do the drive, you get there, and then all of a sudden you're like, all right, party on, here we go. And I don't get so worried about that anymore. So if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, like you're not really ready to go to a big competition, you got to let that go. And you have to just, you know, don't worry about it. Get excited when you get there. You don't have to be excited now. That's okay. The other thing that I find really helpful is I think as human beings, we think about, you know, a competition, and especially people who have really high expectations for themselves, or they're, you know, a very type A personality like myself. Often what I do when I think about going to a big event is my brain, unfortunately, sometimes goes to all of the things that could possibly go wrong or could be stressful for me that I may have to navigate, which is unfortunate because it would be, you know, a lot nicer to think about all the good things. But what I have tried to do in these circumstances is think about some of the things that I could potentially find stressful or overwhelming. And I try to find solutions or possible solutions to them before I go. So for example, say, you know, my students have a bad weekend and I feel like I need to help them out. And, you know, sometimes it can be hard if you're a coach listening to this or even a friend and, you know, whoever you're traveling with isn't having a great weekend. Sometimes you can get torn between wanting to be there for them, support them, but then at the same time, you got to kind of think about yourself. So for me, I think about times in which I can be present for others and then being able to lay down a respectful boundary for when I need to be present for myself. You know, it could be maybe I walk a course and I don't like the course, or I don't feel confident about a section of the course. You know, what am I going to do about that? So just try to, everybody's list is going to be a little bit different. So try and think about things that could potentially stress you out or negatively impact you, and try to think of a possible solution, because it's much easier to problem solve when you already have the answer than to be in an emotional, stressful state and then try to figure out what the heck you're going to do about it. So I can find that, I find that to be really helpful. And that's something that I do before every big event. Where do you have good mental game? Oh, I like this one, if I do say so myself. So if you're somebody that can go, that can train well on your own, and you can have good headspace and you enjoy yourself and you're relaxed and you have fun, maybe you're in class and you can kind of adopt the same type of nature. Maybe you can do that in local trials as well, but then you go to some bigger events that have a little bit more, you know, importance on the line, and you don't seem to have that same mindset. Try to think about why you're more relaxed. And if it's just the pressure, you need to think about why is the pressure the thing that makes you do more poorly, or makes you second guess yourself, or makes you lose confidence. If you're able to do amazing things in practice, if you're able to be bold and send your dog to go get that entry, or, you know, you take risks or whatever it might be, you need to find it in yourself to be able to do that in competition, because there's no reason other than mental pressure that your dog doesn't suddenly have less skills when you get there. You don't suddenly have less skills when you get there. You're exactly the same person, exactly the same skill set, exactly the same dog. So there really shouldn't be a reason, technically speaking, why you shouldn't be able to replicate it. The only thing that stops you from doing that is your mental game and your self-confidence. So what I'm getting at here is what I try to do, and again, this isn't for everybody. I'm just going to sort of share with you some suggestions and some things that I do after competing for a very, 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 very long time at a very high level, is for me, if I can get myself into a more relaxed state, which means like between runs, I'm going to be a little social. I'm going to laugh and be silly with my friends. I'm going to take my dog out for a walk. I'm going to, you know, go and do the jump, warm up jump, and, you know, try to just not be too serious about what I'm doing. You know, the best advice that I can give other people and that I give myself, which is so hard for people to do unless they internally believe it themselves, is to just care a little less about what you're doing. And this is coming from one of the most competitive people that you will ever meet. I am super competitive. I want to be the very best. I want to win it all. Let's just get that straight for sure. But at the same time, I know from my own experience that if I get too in my head about results or winning or going clear in every round, or, you know, oh my God, what if I don't make the team? All of these things, I will shit the bed. That is what will happen, because I'm just not being my relaxed self. I perform my best when I am in the same state of mind as I am all of the other times that I perform my best, which is in my arena, which is, you know, at the local trials when I don't really care about the results too much. When I don't care, that's when I do the best. So that's what I try to think about replicating. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Mental game throughout the day. So I just had written here, during the day, mental space. So when you go to a competition, like the one that we're going to, it's 4 or 5 days long. And man, it's a long haul. That's a long time to stay mentally focused. So again, something that I've learned, and I have to remind myself of this sometimes, is I allow myself to shut off a little bit when I know I have an extended period of time when I don't really need to be paying attention to something. So if I have, you know, if I'm off for a rotation, or I know I have like, I'm not in that run, or I have a huge span off, I try to allow myself to disengage from competition mode. And it might be that I just sit and watch other people and I cheer and I help other people and I don't really worry about it. It might be that I go and sit in my car for a little while, or I go and sit at my creating area and go on my phone, or just kind of chill out a little bit, have a nap. I will sometimes crawl into my X-Pen with my dogs and have like a quick, you know, 20-minute power nap, because it's impossible. If you're going to be at the top of your game, it's impossible to do that day after day after day for, you know, 12 hours a day. You need to be able to turn off. And then you also need to know, how much time do you need to get yourself up to like the state that you need to be in before you go? Because you, although you want to be chill and you want to be relaxed, you want to be cool as a cucumber, all these things that I'm saying, you also need to be fierce and you also need to be ready to go. You know, if you're too relaxed and you don't have your heart rate up and you're not, you know, muscles aren't relaxed and you're not like ready to go, you also aren't going to perform your best. There is a balance that you're trying to get. So for me, it takes me probably like a good half hour to go from like snooze down to like, let's go. So, you know, and I need to do some things to wake up. I need to get up and I need to be mobile. And I like to get my dog out as well. I'll do some warm-up exercises, or I'll go and like look at the course again and do my little finger agility where I'm like reminding myself of all my steps and all of my little tiny little things that I can't miss on course that are super important. You know, I try to really think about that and I need to take time. It's hard if I am like, oh my gosh, I'm in, I have to get really ready really fast. I don't do well. I need time to kind of get ready. And I would venture to say that many people are the same way. So you kind of need to think about, okay, I'm going to shut off. How much time do I need to get like on the right track here? 2 minutes before your run. So there's a mental space that you're going to be in, like, as you start to get closer, maybe when your class starts or you're like 30, 40 dogs away. And then there's also a different mindset that you're going to take when you're like a couple dogs away, 2 minutes away, whatever it might be. And that's when you need to be getting, so I like to get myself more pumped up and excited. And then just before I'm about to go into the ring, I like to try to relax my mind a little bit. And years ago, I came up with a phrase for myself that I come back to all the time. And that's mind calm, body fast. And it's kind of what I was saying before about, don't let your mind get too fast. Don't get ahead of yourself, because you're going to make mistakes, mental mistakes on course, but we're not going to lollygag around the course. We are going to go as fucking fast as we possibly can, but we also need to make sure we keep our mind clear and sharp so that we're not missing steps along the way. And I personally find the best runs that I have are the ones where I can really clear my head before I go into the ring and I don't really think about anything. And I'm not putting extra pressure on myself. And where I struggle sometimes, and I'm sure you guys are the same, is, you know, if there's one section on course that like, I'm not 100% sure how I want to handle that. Do I want to do it this way or this way? Or if I'm, you know, concerned about like an off course tunnel or something like that, if I get too hung up on that, sometimes I might get it right on course, but I might mess up like right after, because my whole mind frame is thinking about that one moment that when it's finished, it's kind of like, yay, I did it. Oh crap. But then there's this thing. So you kind of need to just like wipe your brain clean and just not think about anything. Think about breathing, think about relaxing, think about just what you need to do, get out of your head. And oh man, I would be unstoppable if I could just, you know, snap my fingers and get myself into that headspace all of the time. But I can't. I would say that I can do it more often than I can't. But there's lots of times where I just feel a little bit mentally unsettled before I go in the ring. And because I know the feeling so well, I will start to say to myself, okay, you don't feel good. So you need to let it go. You got to shake it off. You need to let it go. Sometimes I can rally, and then sadly, sometimes I can't. And when I leave the ring, because I've off course or I've done something, it's upsetting, because then it's like, damn it. I kind of knew deep down that was going to happen. And if you can be really aware of your feelings and your emotions, I think it is easier to control them and to get yourself into a better mind frame. But you also have to recognize that in this sport, you are not going to be perfect every single time. In fact, that's just not going to happen. If you think that that's a possibility, that's not going to happen. There's too many variables. There's too many things that are going to go wrong, but you can be pretty darn perfect a lot of the time, just not all of the time. So you have to, again, give yourself a bit of grace and focus on the recovery. So again, try to clear my mind. I do stupid things before I go in the ring. I'll sing myself a silly song. I'll, you know, do the Superman pose and focus on my breathing. And I just try to chill out a little bit. So you kind of need to think about your different mind frames as you're leading up to the course. Okay, the next thing, feeling prepared. So course walking, handling decisions, trusting your training, those types of things. You know, the more skilled you are as a handler, the more skills that your dog has in their training, the more miles you've run together, you know, it does get easier to get to a place where you feel like you can just run and kind of trust what your dog is going to do. I definitely feel that right now. My dog Beeline, she's a little border collie and she's going to be 7 soon. And, you know, we have many years now together of running big competitions. I would have loved to have more if there wasn't the pandemic in the way with 3 years of not doing anything. But I feel in a really good place with her. I have a young dog who's just starting to compete and I don't know what the hell is going to happen when we go out there. But again, he's young and I kind of think that's kind of the fun part of it, but it is such a difference. I don't know his skill set yet. I know that he doesn't have a lot of skills yet. And with B, I feel good about what I ask her to do. She will do it. And that means all I have to do is keep my shit together. It is all on me. It's not on her. And when you can train your dog and train yourself to enough of a level for yourself that works for your handling, whatever, everybody's gonna be a bit different, it will allow you to not have to run a course and worry about, is your dog gonna get the weave entry? Or are they gonna pop their poles? Or are they gonna get their dog walk contact? Or are they gonna knock a bunch of bars? If you're thinking about all that stuff and also trying to think about what you're supposed to be doing with your body and your speed and your connection and where you're supposed to be looking, that's a lot of things to be managing at the same time. So you have to really be prepared when you go to these big events and have a clear idea of what your skill set is. Now, I'm not trying to say that if you don't have like the best skills, you shouldn't be doing the thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you should be aware of where your skill set is and be realistic about it so that when you run the course, you're not all of a sudden for the first try going to be like, I hope this throttle wrap works this time. That's not smart thinking. You want to try and think about what decisions do you need to make at this point to give yourself the best results? And if it's, you know, a situation where you're like, gosh, I really wish I had that skill because I see everybody doing it this way, but I don't feel confident to do it that way for my dog. Maybe that's something you jot down in your training list and, you know, you're going to be able to do that next year or in 6 months when you go to the next competition. But you don't really want to try anything wild and crazy if you're not really sure whether that's in your wheelhouse or not. You need to stick to the things that you know. You know, often I say to my students, you know, as we get closer to the thing, you know, my dog's not getting the contact or my dog's not doing the thing. It's like, okay, we got 2 weeks. You can do the best you can to train that thing, but you're probably not going to be perfect at it in 2 weeks' time. Where you are at right now is what you have at the competition. So you need to be confident in those skills. You need to pick and choose your decisions wisely and then go with it. Be confident with those things and know that there's room for growth. And that's going to be like a save for later type thing. One of the last podcasts that Jamie and I put out, we talked about the concept of being bold, which was so great because I can't believe how many people like really embrace that saying. And if you haven't listened to the other podcasts, I'll just give you a quick sort of idea of where it came from. And that is that, you know, a lot of people will say when they run, you should be confident or be daring or, you know, it's better to be sorry than it is to be safe. And I believe a lot of those things, but it kind of comes back to what I just talked about. You don't really want to be brave or risky if you're not sure that the thing is going to happen. You want to be bold and you want to be bold in the things that you know, the skills that you have, so that there's a higher chance of you being successful. There is a difference between brave. Being brave doesn't necessarily mean you're being smart. Being bold to me is like, I'm confident about what I know and I'm going to go out and execute it to the best of my ability. So, you know, think to yourself, you go on the line, be bold. It's going to be really important. The last thing I had in this little area was being influenced by others. And I'm sure that many people can relate to this comment because it can be really challenging to not get influenced by other people's results, other people's handling choices when you're walking the course. You know, if you're walking something and you're doing something one way and you see like 10 people doing something the other way, number one, you probably should consider why all those people are doing that and you're doing something different. They might be onto something that you're not. Or maybe it's that you know something they don't. Maybe you know your dog so well that you know that doing it on that side or doing that move is not going to be the best choice for you and for your dog. And that goes back to the be bold, be confident thing. You know, if you have a good sense of where you and your team are at, it will help you to make better decisions. And sometimes you just need to be confident in that. And if it turns out to be the wrong choice, that's a lesson. You're going to learn from that. But try your best not to be too influenced by others. If you are going to be influenced by others, use that to propel you forward. You know, if I see somebody have a really good run that is like close competition to me, or I know is, you know, one of the people that I have to watch out for at a competition, I try if I can to be like, okay, game on, let's go. Like, I want it to like pump me up instead of being like, oh gosh, now I have to be perfect, because it's so easy to go to that mindset. But that, again, that's sort of a negative way of thinking. And that's not a confident mindset. You need to kind of think about, all right, let's go, let's do this, rock on, competition's here. And if it goes great, cool. And if it doesn't, oh well, at least you went out there swinging, like doing your absolute best. But again, it's sometimes very difficult to get into that mindset because it's very, very easy to be influenced by people around you. I actually wanted to say something else about that. And that is, you know, when it comes to being influenced by other people around you, that also sometimes has to do with, like, I know for us, we have like a group of people, we have a large group of people of students. And then I also have like a small group of people that I compete with and that, you know, we're very, very close at competitions. And it can be difficult for all of us sometimes when you have one or two people that are having an awesome weekend. And then maybe a couple people are having a shit weekend. And, you know, sometimes it can be awkward to like, if you're the one having the great weekend, it's sometimes you don't want to be like, oh my God, like things are going so well, because then you feel like an asshole because the other person's having a hard time. Or maybe the opposite's happening. Maybe you're the one that's having an awful weekend and like you wish someone could give you a pick me up, but at the same time, you don't really want to bring other people down because you know that they're also like, it's important that they stay in good mindset as well. So sometimes that part of influence can be really challenging as well. And I'm going to dive into that a little bit more in a moment. But influence can happen in many ways. And it's something that if you can kind of be like a fly on the wall about it, and you can kind of take yourself out of the situation and then be like, okay, if this wasn't directly affecting me, like what would I do about this? What would I tell someone else to do about this? And then try to follow your own advice, because you probably know what to do. Okay, what happens when things don't have a plan. So what I meant by this was more so like, if things don't go well, it's competition wise for you. So results wise or performance wise, if things don't go well, what is your plan? And I've talked about this before on other podcasts, and this is something that, you know, I think is really helpful. And it's the concept that we call the bitter barn. And if you've listened to lots of podcasts, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, so I don't want to waste too much time on it, but I'll just give you a quick synopsis. Basically what it is it's an opportunity to allow yourself to get all of those frustrations and emotions out, because, you know, we take this very seriously. We're there because we want to do the best that we possibly can do. And when it doesn't go well, it's disappointing. And it's okay to be disappointed, because it freaking sucks sometimes. This sport is so emotional sometimes that like sometimes you just want to like go kick something or like have a good cry. But what's important is that you don't, number one, you don't want it to affect your dog. And number two, you don't necessarily want to bring down like the people around you with you. And that's why we created the Bitter Barn. And you can go to the Bitter Barn with other people if you wish. And the Bitter Barn is like a it's not an actual place. It's just like a affectionate, silly, jokey word that we have for like, get away from people, find a field, find a car, find a horse stall, find a whatever the crazy thing is, away from people so that nobody can see you or hear you, and just do your swearing, do your kicking, do your crying, whatever it is that you need to do, get it out, and then be like, okay, I've got it out. Now I need to like suck it up and I need to figure out like what my next plan is. Because if things go poorly and you just keep hanging onto it and hanging onto it and hanging onto it, and if it's an event, especially like this one where there's run after run after run after run, if you just keep holding on to that and you keep thinking to yourself, gosh, I'm doing so badly, like the next one's probably not going to go bad, and this, and you're just such negative self-talk, you will continue to do bad. That is a given. So you don't necessarily want to bottle it down, because that's sometimes not helpful as well. You kind of got to let it out and then move on. And I think I said this before, but you don't want your dog to be part of it. We don't want our dogs thinking that we're mad or worried or upset with them at all. So if you're going to the bitter barn, your dog, you know, is elsewhere, you go do your thing, and then when you return back to rejoin with your dog again, it's happy, happy, joy, joy yourself. People you surround yourself with. So yeah, this is going to be important as well. The people you surround yourself with also can make or break the experience you have at the competition, because as much as agility is a one-to-one, like you and your dog individual sport, it's also extremely communal. There's a lot of people. It's a community. We're all like, think about in a day how many times somebody walks past you and says, hey, how did it go? How was your run? How did it go? And like when it's shit, it's like, there is nothing more irritating in the world than when you have a shit run and it's been like 20 seconds and someone's like, hey, how was your run? Because they either didn't see it, or they're like, oh, that's too bad, eh? Or nice try, or whatever. I hate that. Like, just don't talk to me. Give me like a couple minutes to like feel sorry for myself, and then we can talk about it. I'm happy to talk about it after. But you know, the worst thing is when you have a bad run and then somebody comes out and they're like, oh, yeah, that happened because you did this wrong. It's like, yeah, I fucking know. I got it. I know that. Oh, anyways, there's some tips for you for talking to people when they come out of the ring. But back to the people, your people kind of need to know how to deal with you when those things happen. So like, you know, our core group that compete together, we know if like somebody has a bad run, we can kind of gauge whether we need to go up and like console, go up and like take the dog and be like, you're going to the bitter barn. I got your dog. I'll walk them out. I'll go play with them. Like, you go do your thing. Or like, just give the person space and let them go off and like get over themselves or whatever it might be. You kind of have to read that. And if you're not sure, ask. You know, if one of my friends comes out of the run and I'm not sure, I'll say, do you want some space? Or are you good? Or whatever it be. And then usually it's pretty easy to tell at that point. But communication is really important, especially with the people that you're close with. You know, if you need space, or if you need support, or if you need something, or if you need to vent, you know, sometimes it's best to say, hey, I know you have a lot going on right now and like you're in the zone, but I need like 5 minutes to vent to you about this. And then they can either say, I can't do it right now, or like, okay, hit me, go for it, and then get it over and done with. But sometimes you don't just want to go and barf your emotions on somebody when they're not prepared to do it. So communication is really, really important. And if it's not somebody that you're close with, you know, just be careful about that, because they could be having a rough day. They could be having a great day. But it can be difficult, because like I said, the sport's really emotional, and the people side of things at a competition can be sometimes one of the hardest things to navigate. So you kind of have to have a good sense of self, and you also need to make sure that you're respectful and aware of others, so that, you know, the way that you would want to be treated, you're doing the same for yourself. Okay, I'm going to start to wrap things up. And something, I sort of said this a little bit before earlier, but I said, like, try not to care so much. And, you know, sometimes what happens is you have to realize that at the end of the day, this is a fun thing that we do. And for a lot of us, it's, you know, our not even just a hobby. It's like our life. It's like the thing that we do. It's something that we hold a lot of importance in. It's, you know, the sport we put hours and hours and hours of dedication and training into what we do with these dogs in this event. Like this is a big deal. We put a lot of work into it, but at the same time, it's also only agility. And sometimes when you're in a weekend and you're either riding high or it's not going so well, it like sometimes in that moment feels like it's going to last forever. And like, this is like the worst, like you've just never felt so bad, or just sometimes it just like the feelings feel so real. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, you're at another event or you're at, you know, your friend's birthday party or you're watching your kids' swimming lessons. And like, who gives a shit about what happened at Canadian Nationals? It's over now. It's over. You're on to different things. So sometimes give yourself a reality check and remind yourself that it's only agility at the end of the day. And sometimes that helps you recover just a little bit faster. I'm going to read this next point to you because it's funny. I literally just barf this stuff down on the page. It's funny. Be competitive, have an edge, but don't let it make you be an asshole. That's literally what I wrote. And what I meant by that is, you know, at the same time that I say don't get too carried away, you also need to be a competitor. You need to have a competitor mindset. You need to be in the game. You need to be in the zone. But you can do that while also being kind to your dog, being kind to others, smile, laugh, have fun. There's a way to be a strong competitor with fabulous mental game, really great results, and then also have a wonderful, enjoyable weekend with the people around you at the same time. And I think that that's really, really important because I think sometimes people get so in their head about things and take it so seriously that it's like, whoa, like you're in a zone right now. And those people aren't that really fun to be around, if I'm being perfectly honest. So think about that. Be competitive for sure. Go for it, but don't be an asshole. Dogs, they're only as good as we make them. So you need to remember that if things aren't going well and you are upset with your dog or whatever, like that's on you, babe. You know, the dogs are really only as good as we make them. It's down to our training. It's down to our relationship with them. So, you know, if things aren't going well, it just is what it is. And all you can do is take note of the holes and think about what your next 2, 6, 12 month period of training is going to be in order to get the results that you're looking for. So you need to remember. Relax, enjoy yourself. Think about why you do this. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, are you really doing this because you want to, you know, make a world team and you want to do this? Like, there's always more things to do. There's always events. There's always things to do. And although you want to be competitive, you want to be serious, at the end of the day, you're doing this because you really enjoy all of the things that agility has to offer. How challenging it is. You enjoy the training. You enjoy the sense of competition. You live for that feel good run where you come out of the ring and everything just goes exactly how you want it to. And that feeling is what drives you forward. And all of the other times where it feels terrible, you just have to have a couple of those feel good runs and it just sets you right back in it at the end of the day. And really at the end of it, the most important thing is your dog and how they're feeling, that they're happy, that they're healthy. And really, I can't stress that enough. I almost feel like I'm getting emotional right now because it's so funny. I'm sitting in a podcast room by myself. Anyways, why I'm saying this is that a few years ago, I lost one of my dogs that I was literally getting ready to go to this event, WAO tryouts. And he was starting to get into his prime and I found out that he had intestinal cancer and he was gone like 4 or 5 months later. And that was heartbreaking, but it put everything in perspective for me. And I feel very differently now about competition and how I treat my dog and the pressure I put on my dog. Because honestly, when you don't have a dog to run anymore, you're kind of like, it's only fucking agility. At least I get to take the dog home. Okay, I'm going to stop crying now. I hope you guys are laughing at me in your cars right now because this is absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, what's a good pep talk without ending with a few tears, right? Anyways, if you're on your way to a competition, I truly wish you the best. I hope you can get into the mind space that allows you to have a really great time and to be the best handler you could possibly be for your dog. And remember, at the end of the day, be bold, mind calm, body fast. Don't be an asshole. Just kidding. And, you know, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, but be competitive at the same time. Okay. Good luck, everybody. Peace out.